WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Iran's supreme leader is threatening irreparable damage if the U.S. gets involved in its six-day-old conflict with Israel. Israelis being advised to stay close to bomb shelters, schools and non-essential businesses still closed. Tamar Weiss lives near Tel Aviv.
I wish everyone could be down here. I wish everyone would have a place that's as safe as here, because I think this is really the safest place in all of Ramat Gan, the whole city.
President Trump's made no secret of his admiration.
I have a warm spot in my heart for TikTok because I won youth by 34 points.
He's expected to extend the deadline for TikTok's Chinese owner to divest for another 3 months. Wall Street will be watching closely when the Fed meets today. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
What we're looking for from the Federal Reserve is how many interest rate cuts we're going to get this year. They're going to give updated economic projections and just where they see inflation in the labor market going.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. A man accused of assassinations in Minnesota was federally charged on Monday with the murders of Mark and Melissa Hortman. That follows Vance Boatler's arrest on Sunday in the small farm town of Green Isle, about an hour away from Minneapolis. Green Isle resident Wendy Thomas tells Civic Media that she spotted Boatler hiding in a culvert of a neighbor's house as she was going down the driveway on the phone with her dad.
As the person got closer to, there's a culvert down there, he squatted down. And I'm like, Dad, they're hiding, you know. So I started freaking out. He says, you hang up and you call somebody. And I hung up and I got to the end of the driveway. And there's been enough police force here. At the end of the driveway, there was an officer just coming down the road. And I flagged him down with my arms out the window. And he's like, is everything okay? And I said, no. I said, there's somebody in this hay field or this grass field here. I said, he's in the culvert.
Thomas adds that since then, law enforcement hasn't communicated with her.
I mean, my mental health, like, I'm shaken up. It was an experience, and yeah.
Meanwhile, 11 Wisconsin Democrats were on Boatler's hit list, including the members of Wisconsin's congressional delegation. State Senator Caldra Royce, who represents Madison, speaking to Todd Alba on Monday.
I am aware of who's on the list, but law enforcement has really emphasized to us that they do not want those names to be public because of the risk of additional violence or copycats. And I think, you know, the point is really that anyone who serves the public could potentially be at risk like this, and it's not acceptable. Nobody deserves to put their life at risk because of the job that they have.
I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Brewers lose in Chicago. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, it's game two of the Brewers and Cubs tonight at Wrigley Field. The Crew losing last night 5-3. Manager Pat Murphy's reaction after the defeat.
That was a good game. A lot of great defensive plays, both ends. They hit in the clutch. You know, they did some clutch hitting. Suzuki's homer changed the game. I'm proud of our guys. We did some good things. We didn't necessarily hit big situations, but leaving 10 guys on base or 9, whatever it was. But, you know, credit to their pitching staff and credit to their defense. You know, they got a great lineup.
The Cubs' Pete Crow Armstrong with a diving catch of Bryce Terang's liner in the 8th and followed that up with a 2-run homer in the 9th, 452 feet, hitting the scoreboard. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
That's why we come to the ballpark, to see things like that, to see great players do great things. Great players do amazing things. Pretty cool.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and maybe a stray afternoon thunderstorm and a high near 80. A slight storm chance this evening, otherwise partly cloudy tonight, mid-50s. More sunshine for Thursday, warm and muggy with a few showers and thunderstorms by Thursday night. Highs near 80. Currently, it's 66.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Who wins in war? Billionaires do. We discuss one such billionaire's efforts to buy Wisconsin elections and the lawsuit to stop them with Jeff Mandel and Scott Thompson of Law Forward.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show after the 9:30 news, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, friend and colleague here at Civic
Indeed.
Media, is going to be joining us. We're going to be talking about some of the stories that continue to come out about women's health care after the fall of the Dobbs decision, as well as the budget that is now being kicked around in the Senate and the effect that that is going to have, particularly on rural hospitals.
Which is something we've been talking about here on the show for a while, because there's been such effect that the statewide budget has had on rural hospitals as well.
Yep.
So, yeah, that'll be interesting to talk to Dr. Lyerly about that.
It should be a good conversation. She's coming up after the 9:30 news. Hour number two, as we always do, after the 10:30 news, we lighten things up with Audio Sorbet, an opportunity to get away from the news and take a little breath, get reoriented. Recombobulated, as it were.
Oh.
Today we're going to talk about what was your story. We got off on, as we were setting up the show before we got on the air this morning, I don't know how we landed on this, but we started talking about soap operas.
Yeah.
They're still there.
They're still there. Decades.
Yep. So what was your story? And you shared a story with me that you'll tell later on.
I will.
Because I think it's important. It's not just women who have their stories.
It's not old. It's not young.
Right.
It's all swaths ages of individuals.
All across all demographics. What was your story? We'll take that after 10:30, and then we'll wrap it up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the One Toke Over the Line edition. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for that. That's coming up again at the very end of the show around 10:51. Wanted to start off with this, though. I'm just heartbroken for this woman. Sophie Carson with the byline in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and the headline, after a long fight, MPS teacher's aide self-deports to El Salvador with her U.S. citizen daughters. After months of fighting her deportation, Yesenia Ruano and her 10-year-old twin daughters have left Milwaukee for El Salvador. She's been a Milwaukee public school teacher's aide. She's been here for 14 years. She did enter illegally.
She came in without authorization.
She came in without authorization in 2011. She has been living with an order for deportation. Until now, there haven't been a lot of efforts to remove people like her or others like her. She's also kept regular appointments with the U.S. Immigration.
She is, full disclosure, when we were kicking around this story, one of the things that stuck out, at least for me, was the fact that this was a person who entered in unlawfully. And one of the things that the administration said was going to get rid of the, quote, criminals. And there is a claim, a case to be made that because she entered in unauthorized, that qualifies her as a criminal. So I thought to myself, well, that she is unfortunately part of the group that she doesn't seem like a drug dealer or a gang member.
No,
or a,
she has no criminal record. Exactly. Here. None.
But when you read into the story further, as you just said, Jane, she entered in without authorization, but she still went to her meetings, still kept her appointments with immigration.
Yes.
And was working to get a visa to stay here that just was going nowhere. So finally, and by the way, it was a trafficking victim's visa, because that's what she claimed was.
She was a victim of sex trafficking.
So two things can exist at the same time, if you will. Yes, we need to deport those who are here illegally, especially if they are violent criminals. But someone like Yesenia, she was doing everything that you're supposed to do. She came, yes, and if you watch the press conference with her, she's so measured. She's so just very in the moment. She's not really crying. She's not begging for help. She's not saying this is unfair. She's saying, I'm going to deport myself. I'm going to go back to El Salvador. I'm taking my daughters. I don't know what they're going to do. They've never been there.
They've never been there. They were born here.
Yeah. They are U.S. citizens.
Yes.
Because, you know, the Constitution. Yep. But I think this is one of those interesting stories, beyond interesting, important stories, because it lends to the nuance of this conversation. Because we want to paint these individuals as, you know, criminals, get out. Black and white, that's it. But it's not.
No, it's
not.
There's all kinds of gray. There's all kinds of gray. And again, as you mentioned, she had been keeping her immigration appointments, trying to go through the process correctly, as so many others have.
Yep.
And now we're seeing people are going to court to show up for their appearances. The judges are canceling it.
Yeah.
They walk outside and they get arrested and deported.
Yep. And something that, you know, we're going to try to get Christine Newman Ortiz from Voces de la Frontera here to talk about it. And she and Yesenia, remind me her last name, please, again.
Sorry, I have to find it. Yesenia Ruano.
Ruano. They, you know, she was trying to get the visa passed through, and it just years and years of not happening, still going to the meetings. That's not her fault. That's the problem of the immigration system in this country, which
not being funded,
not being really cared about, and really being a small businesses, farmers, immigrants, something politicians love to talk about, but do nothing about in the law. And this is something you can lay on the doorstep of both parties.
Absolutely.
The Republicans want this immediate, almost violent, dystopian type removal of them, where we will talk about it in a little bit, about men with masks on just whisking people away in the night, regardless of status, too, in some situations.
Yes.
Versus the Democrats, who are so afraid of their own shadow when it comes to immigration, because they're afraid they're going to get, because none of them have the guts to say, yeah, we need to get rid of some of these individuals. They're not here legally. They need to do it. I mean, you need to have the big conversation. They're afraid to do it. Republicans want to overcorrect. And so now we have this young woman who just, she's a teacher's aide. She's helping.
And paying taxes.
She's doing it the right way, the way you wanted her to do it. So this is a perfect example of this issue not being so just, you know, black and white.
Exactly.
It's a nuanced, deeply, deeply contextual situation.
Yep. Yesenia said she would not disobey orders from ICE to leave. Officer said she had to buy a plane ticket to El Salvador in order to self-deport. They would not wait for her trafficking victim's visa to be processed. So now she and her 10-year-old daughters, who are U.S. citizens and have never been there, they will be staying in the Salvadoran countryside for now. She said she's going to have to find a school for the girls and a job for herself. As you mentioned, Christine Newman Ortiz, executive director of Voces de la Frontera, called Yesenia Ruano resilient and courageous, and said her story symbolizes the failure of our Congress by both parties to prioritize humane immigration reform. And this is something, again, that has been kicked down the road for decades by both sides.
Yeah.
We need more people. We need more judges.
Yeah.
We need more immigration judges to hear these cases. It shouldn't take 10 to 15 years.
No.
To go through this process.
Meanwhile, these individuals are living lives, but always living their lives with looking over their shoulders.
In fear.
I mean, Kilmara Brega Garcia, perfect example. A gentleman who had a no deportation order by the courts, because no judge found him guilty of being a gang member, by the way, no matter what they say. But yet, whisked away. Always have to look over your shoulder. Doing it the quote-unquote right way. And yeah, they need to fund this. The immigration courts, the lawyers, the process. They need to rework the process. It shouldn't be easy to become a citizen, but it shouldn't be
this hard
to not get deported.
No. It's broken.
Absolutely.
Our immigration system is and has been broken.
Yeah.
Sarah Weintraub is a special ed teacher at a Milwaukee public school, and she said that, quote, to anybody who thinks that this looks like a choice, or if they want to say, why didn't they follow the path or get in line, I invite you to sit down with one of us. There are no pathways. Mm. This is the result of a very broken, very painful immigration system. She said, Yesenia Ruano is brave to speak up, and she has set an example for the many who have been following her story.
Yeah, it really is heartbreaking. And what really just is for me is watching that press conference with her talking about just, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I have to do. I have no choice. And she even said at a certain point she's going to be a bit of relief now because she's not going to have to worry about
looking over her shoulder
or whether or not the visa is going to go through. And that's horrendous.
855-752-4842 if you would like to join our conversation. Ron from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Ron. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. Everything you said, but I'd like to add a little context. If memory serves, the last attempt to reform our broken immigration system, badly broken immigration system, involved a bipartisan group of senators and House representatives who spent like 18 months working on a really good reform plan that took care of a lot or all of these problems. And all the way along, they were getting nodding yeses from the Congress as a whole and the president. And then they got their work done, submitted it, and then as it was ready to come to a vote, the president, and I believe the president's name was Trump, said, nope, not going to do that. So, yes, both parties are guilty to some extent. They have responsibility, let's put it that way. But one party has most of the responsibility, and that's the Republicans. Congress acted like, well, that's that then, you know?
I mean,
they didn't even try to pass it and get them to veto it.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, they got their marching orders from Dear Leader, and he wants it killed, and so we're going to kill it. Thank you, Ron. I appreciate you calling in and pointing that out, because you're right. We had a deal. We had a bipartisan deal that was going to happen. And of course, Trump came out and said, "Yeah, I don't like it. Don't vote for it." So they didn't.
Well, and you know, it had measures to strengthen the border. It had measures to fund different operations within the immigration industry here in America. But the main reason, and if you're asking yourself, well, why did he do that? Because he wanted to campaign on it. If it was fixed, he couldn't fearmonger.
Exactly.
He couldn't get in front of crowds and spew megatons of lies about individuals and government officials and elected officials. He wanted to spew hatred about it, but he couldn't do that if, one, there was a solution, and two, it was bipartisan.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's not Trump's game. He likes his sweet spot, and that's
well, it's not about fixing the issue. It's about using the issue.
Correct.
Using the issue to get reelected, and he did. That was the hallmark of his whole second campaign: mass deportations now, without looking at the ramifications further down the road. These people don't game out anything.
No,
to the end.
No, not at all.
Blows my mind.
Getting rid of this young woman deporting herself, self-deporting herself, does nothing to help this situation. Nothing to fix the problem, the bigger problem.
And now we need another teacher's aid.
Yep.
Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the Big High School Sports Show.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Environmental groups say the Midwest grid operator, MISO, is pushing an emergency energy plan that discriminates against wind and solar, the two cheapest ways to produce energy in our state. The plan favors fast-tracking construction of gas-burning power plants at the expense of clean energy projects. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission rejected a similar plan from MISO last month, but environmental groups say this one is even worse, with few guardrails to ensure fossil fuel projects are actually needed. Once again, Wisconsin had the biggest wild turkey season in North America. More than 50,000 wild turkeys were harvested in our state this spring. The Department of Natural Resources reintroduced the birds into our ecosystem in 1976 and has been managing the hunt ever since. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Want to take just a second and thank everybody for taking part in our statewide Text to Win Scani Summer Contest. It wrapped up last Friday. It was a lot of fun. Love seeing the entries come in and where everyone is listening around the state, and it's always fascinating.
I love seeing the misspelled words.
That's always fun,
That's always fun, too.
But our grand prize winners, it's Trace, who is listening to WMDX in Madison, and Melissa also listening in Hayward on WHSM, picking up the grand prizes of a little getaway, either in Door County or Baraboo with a gas card to get you there.
Baraboo.
Not the only things you can win. Free ticket Friday is back this Friday.
I can win?
You cannot win.
Oh, man.
Work here, you can't win. But you can win, starting on Friday, Free Ticket Fridays, four packs of tickets to see the Milwaukee Brewers Club level seats, cushy seats.
Comfy seats.
Bathroom access, very important. Very important. So we're listening on Friday. You got five chances on Fridays during our show. Tom Hartman, Todd Alba, and Maggie Dawn, also mornings with Pat Kreitlow, too. He's
so many chances to win.
I know. So Free Ticket Friday is back this coming Friday. Make sure you download the Civic Media app.
It's the only way you can participate.
And it is absolutely free, as Greg likes to say.
Play on words.
Before we went to the break, we were talking about the case of the Milwaukee Public School teacher aide, Yasina Rawana, who has chosen to self-deport along with her two daughters, 10 years old, who are U.S. citizens. They were born here. They've never been to El Salvador. That's what we were talking about before we went to the break. Gene from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Gene. Thanks for joining us. What did you want to add to this?
Well, I'll tell you, great job, guys, reporting on this. I mean, you know, just watching these people, they're so vile and inhumane treatment. I mean, I really wonder what other people are thinking. I mean, I get sick to my stomach when I watch those, you know what, doing this to human beings and in our fellow Americans and our visitors or our people waiting to be part of the United States of America. I'm ashamed of the way that they're acting. I think, and I hope people watch how they talk and watch the president live. And I think you would get a rude awakening. And then, oh, they're going to not go after the farmers. Now they're going to go after the farmers. He doesn't know what the devil he's doing.
Yeah.
And he's in charge of the country. And these, this poor lady and her daughters, they were if they were trafficked, that's nuts that they have to go back there. That's so cruel. Well, anyway, we know how they treat women in that group of people. They don't even care about women, but it's sick, guys. But I just had to call and give my 2 cents worth. Thanks a lot for reporting on this. We need to be aware and we need to speak out. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks
Thank
a lot,
you, Gene.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You very much.
Anytime. You can join us as well at 855-752-4842. I think Gene would be very dismayed because it depends upon what social media you look at. There are people who are celebrating cases like this.
Yeah.
Just in the level of enjoyment and cruelty.
Yes.
Is pretty astonishing.
It's a
for a lot of people who ostensibly claim to be Christians.
I believe that, you know, this might I'm going to say it. I believe part of the membership of this club, this MAGA club, is that you have to enjoy cruelty. You have to enjoy the suffering of others. It brings you more joy to see others suffer than it does to help them, and you feel better about yourself somehow. Or
for some reason,
America's winning, or whatever you want to say. But it's just despicable because she is doing, again, everything that's been asked of her to stay in this country legally. She kept her appointments. She paid taxes. She got a job helping kids as a teacher. What more do you want? And I know it's what will be screamed at the radio right now by those who disagree. Well, she came here illegally. You're right. She did.
She did, and she has admitted that.
She has admitted that, and she has been here for 14 years. So
never committed a crime while she was here.
And why did she not just get thrown out within a year or two of being here in the first place? Because she kept her appointments, because she was meeting with people in immigration. She was doing the thing you're supposed to do. And, yeah, exactly. It's just... That's why it's so hard to have this conversation, because it's nuanced. It's got layers. But yet to the individuals who are on social media that you refer to, there's no gray. It is black and white.
Yep, there's never any gray.
And that applies to people who are thrown out, who are here legally. They must have done something. They wouldn't just take them.
And they have been.
Yeah.
They have been.
Yeah.
And we're seeing more documents come out now from some of the people who they have sent to prisons in other countries that only a third of the people that we have deported actually have criminal records.
Yeah.
Oops.
Kilmar Obrego Garcia is another example. We just talked about him before, but another example of this botched plan is the fact that it was a clerical error that got him deported.
And the administration admitted that.
They admitted it. And within a week, the press secretary was saying, he'll never come back again. He'll never be back here. He's down there. And the
nothing we can do.
President of the United States, nothing I can do.
Nothing
president
can do.
Of El Salvador, nothing I can do. And where is he now? He's back.
Huh.
And he's now fighting federal charges.
Interesting how that works.
Wow.
We have news coming up next. And then when we return, our friend and colleague here at Civic Media, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, will be joining us. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up globally if you have the app. Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
Falls Radio, WXCO. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. There's an effort to boost security in the Badger State. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
In response to the recent shootings of Minnesota lawmakers and a threat list targeting 11 Wisconsin officials, state leaders are talking about enhanced security at the Capitol. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says in a statement he wants increased protection for the next legislative session. The Senate Sergeant-at-Arms has already announced new safety protocols. Wisconsin's Capitol building is open to the public 7 days a week and does not require metal detectors or security badges for entry.
And the Wisconsin Joint Finance Committee voted to increase the bonding authority of the Safe Drinking Water Loan and Clean Water Fund programs earlier this month. Officials say it could lead to increased funding assistance for wastewater treatment infrastructure projects across the state. Maintaining water quality has become a hotly contested topic over recent years, as municipalities struggle with PFAS contamination and general pollution issues. And prescription labels include more than just your name and dosage. They also list key details that affect when and how you get your next supply of meds. One of the most common sources of confusion is the difference between a refill and a renewal. A refill means your provider has already given the pharmacy permission to give you more. But once those run out, a renewal is needed, which means your doctor needs to prescribe a new prescription before the pharmacy can fill it again.
Sometimes patients might forget to look and see how many refills they have left, and they'll expect there to be one. And
that's Olivia Bishop, an Aspirus Pharmacy resident. It's also important to check the expiration date printed on the labels.
It is the date where we can confirm that the medication is still effectively working. Unfortunately, after that expiration date, maybe the medication might lose its effectiveness.
I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Pop singer Neza might have gone to her last Dodger game. At least that's what she says. If you're wondering why, it's because she was told to sing the Star Spangled Banner in English, but decided to sing it in Spanish anyway. This all happened last Saturday on the day of the No Kings protest taking place all over the country. The singer posted a TikTok video of a Dodgers executive telling her to sing it in English and then part of her performance, which was in Spanish. For what it's worth, it was received with enthusiastic applause. The Pit is a hit for Max, and fans of the intense medical drama will be happy to know that season 2 production is underway. According to Variety, the show stars Noah Wiley as an ER doctor. Sound familiar? It was renewed in February. The Pit takes place at the fictitious Pittsburgh Trauma Medical Hospital. Wiley also executive produces the show alongside John Wells, who executive produced NBC's ER. Season 2 of The Pit will premiere in January 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and maybe a stray afternoon thunderstorm and a high near 80. A slight storm chance this evening, otherwise partly cloudy tonight, mid-50s. More sunshine for Thursday, warm and muggy with a few showers and thunderstorms by Thursday night. Highs near 80. It's 67 right now.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
When Republicans try to be cute, they always end up looking like Wile E. Coyote in the old cartoons. Governor Evers is the Roadrunner, and his veto pen is the Acme anvil that keeps getting dropped on their heads. If what they want to do over the next few weeks is not pass a state budget, it would be best for them to get one of those tiny cartoon umbrellas to guard against another Acme anvil that voters are going to drop on their heads.
Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the writer and producer from Bridge to Terabithia, David Patterson. Then we discuss men's mental health with DeLorean Walls from Brothers to Brothers. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, if you were looking for some new attire, perhaps, to get you through the summer.
Some sweet drips, as the kids say, right, Calvin?
They call them sweet drips? Dr. Lyerly saying no, that's not what the
it's
kids say.
Drip. It's not plural. It's a drip.
Sweet drip?
Drip.
It's a sweet drip.
Great drip.
You're turning me into an old man by the moment, Dr. Lady. Kids don't know how to talk.
Dr. Kristen.
If you want to borrow my pack of children who teach me how to talk, you're welcome to have them.
We need a younger interpreter interpret young person speak. But if you are looking for a new great drip to take you through the summer.
Some new drip.
Is that the right one? Okay, let me write this down.
I blame myself.
If you are looking for some new drip for the summer, go to civicmedia.us, click on shop at the top, and that will take you to our merchandise store. And there's a rumor that there's going to be Matt Nair on Air merchandise available very soon.
Shop at the top. Get your drip. It's hip.
There we got it right there. Yeah. Show's over. Wrap it up. We're done. So, yes, there should be MOA, Matt Nair on Air merchandise coming to the Civic Media store soon. We will let you know when that happens so you can pick up maybe a new T-shirt, a new a tote bag.
I've heard rumors of a tote.
Yes, there are tote rumors as well. Mm-hmm. So check it out, civicmedia.us. Delighted to be joined by our friend and colleague and young person interpreter, Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here, host of the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show on Saturdays and Sundays. What's coming up this weekend?
This weekend, we are talking with State Representative Ryan Spouty and State Senate candidate Sean Grorich about some of the policy that's happening in the LGBTQ community in the legislature. Did you know that our LGBTQ plus caucus has doubled in size? It's true. And did you know that 4 out of 5 of our state representatives in Northeast Wisconsin just happen to be members of the community? True story.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah.
Wow. As much as some would like to disappear this segment of our population, they're not going anywhere.
Oh, not especially not in Northeast Wisconsin.
No.
And the legislation that they have introduced is wonderful. It is supportive. It is stuff that you would think we wouldn't have to talk about, like protecting people legally. Wisconsin was we were the first state to provide legal protections to people from the community. Mm-hmm. Isn't that incredible? Like, we were so innovative back in the 70s.
Yeah.
But now here we are having to pass laws just to make sure that people feel safe walking down the street.
Yeah, it's amazing how for decades we were like, yes, you are welcome, you are safe, you are loved. And all of a sudden now it's like, I don't know about these people who've been living here for decades and haven't really not hurt, injured our children, caused crime or done anything. Now, I think I don't trust them anymore.
Well, didn't Scott Walker get rid of the state motto forward because we couldn't look forward anymore?
Really?
I think I'm misremembering. Maybe it just felt that way during the Walker administration. Let's not go forward. Let's just, I don't know, Wisconsin, let's tread water.
Yeah.
Something like that.
But the water has PFAS, so be careful.
Which just is worth another reminder. There is money set aside to address the PFAS problem in Wisconsin, which the Joint Finance Committee will not release because they want the polluters not to have to take any responsibility for the pollution that they create, essentially. Mm-hmm. That's why they won't pass out this money.
Yeah, it's true. So it's been sitting there for what, almost 3 years? It was the last budget.
It was the last budget.
In.
Yeah.
And passing the bill to pass the funds to get the funds in and out there and fixing the water was passed bipartisan. This was a bipartisan measure passed through the Assembly and the State Senate. And then the Joint Finance Committee came in and said, hey, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah,
They love to not do things. They're really good at it.
Yeah, it's just stuck in the legislature, like so many other things, like postpartum Medicaid extension. Just stuck, just sitting there while people are literally dying. People in Peshtigo are still drinking water out of bottles because they can't get their...
Yeah, they've been doing for years.
Yeah. Yes, and the money is there. Everybody agrees it needs to be fixed, but they've dug their heels in so hard. They have totally forgotten that they represent the people who elected them.
Well, and I would just say to those poor folks who have been stuck drinking bottled water for all of these years, myvote.wy.gov, put in your address. Every lawmaker who represents you, their contact information will come up. You should call them.
Yeah,
you
even
should
if you've
call
never
them.
Done it before, especially if you've never done it before.
Yeah, definitely.
And I know that it feels uncomfortable, and you may feel like, I don't want to get political, but the truth is, politics is ruining our lives. Our elected officials' inability to talk to each other and compromise is making it really hard for you to live, and it's getting harder every day. So if ever there was a time to step up, you don't have to be political. You don't have to start with, I always vote for Republicans, or I didn't vote for you. How about, my water is poisoned, and I need help.
Mm-hmm. And why aren't you doing anything to fix this?
Yeah.
That's your job. Yeah. Myvote.wy.gov. Keep it by your phone. Myvote.wy.gov. All you got to do, put in your address. All the contact information is there. We highly, highly encourage you to take advantage of that. Dr. Kristen Lierley is our guest. A number of things we wanted to talk about. This, too, Dr. Lierley has been big in discussion as we're talking about the budget that they're trying to ram through the Senate now. And the impact on rural hospitals. So when we talk about all these Medicaid cuts that they want to do, this is going to have a major impact, especially in rural areas.
Yeah. In Wisconsin, we know that there are two hospitals. So a list was produced out of the University of North Carolina looking at the financial viability of rural hospitals all over the country. In Wisconsin, there are two hospitals that will likely close if the big, beautiful bill passes. And those hospitals are in Osseo and Manitowoc. So think about a community. Manitowoc at least has another hospital nearby.
Right.
In Osseo, there's nothing around. That hospital, if they close, and I'm talking about all services, if they close, where do those people go? The hospital where I'm working right now in northern Minnesota, in Hibbing, is one of two hospitals in Minnesota that would likely close if this bill passes. And there is a lot of conversation happening in this community right now. People who typically don't pay attention, people who rely on care because this is an aging population. People need more contact with healthcare, not less. And we really struggle to hire people here, which is why I work here. We are struggling. If this big, beautiful bill passes, this hospital will close.
And I mean, is Hibbing relatively isolated? I'm trying to fix where it is geographically, like from the Twin Cities. How far away is Hibbing from the Twin Cities?
3 hours north.
Oh, man.
It's part of the Iron Range. The next nearest hospital is 30 minutes away, but 30 minutes in northern Minnesota in the winter is scary. And, the roads aren't great. We already have people who travel down from International Falls because there's no hospital up there that delivers babies. They drive an hour and a half to come. International Falls is right on the Canadian border.
Right.
They drive an hour and a half because we're the closest hospital. We've had people deliver in their car on the way here because they couldn't make it. It's not working.
Yeah. And honestly, like you make the point of 30 minutes in winter roads in northern Minnesota is tough. I would just say 30 minutes on good roads is tough, because depending on where you are with your situation, you could be moments away from dying. Or
what if you're having a heart attack?
Yeah,
just hang on for another 45 minutes, Bill. You'll be fine.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that's another problem, is EMS services are almost entirely run by volunteers up here. It's hard to get volunteers because, again, we've got an aging population. There aren't enough young people to support the people who need services. So when I need to transfer someone to Duluth, which is a little over an hour away, it's hard for us to find an ambulance to take that person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the nurses spend hours calling different ambulance services to try to find somebody to send them in that direction. Our health infrastructure is already in terrible shape. If you cut dollars from Medicaid, it's only going to get worse.
You know, we mentioned this earlier in the program, and I'm going to reiterate it for this point as well. And regarding the bill for billionaires, it's like they're not doing any sort of long-term planning or looking at the road, looking at down the road, saying, what is the next move? What's the next move after that? And so on and so forth. It's just cut, cut, cut to get our little bank heist. Because that's all this is. This is a vault heist. This is Die Hard. This is
It's a transference of wealth.
Exactly. It is. Look over here at all this stuff happening while we just absolutely gut your social security net and take your money and put it in our pocket.
And those are people who are going to get health care. The decision makers are people who will always have health care. Yeah. They'll always be able to get the things that they need.
Yep.
But in the meantime, we are struggling to get by. I was on a call with Senator Elizabeth Warren the other day, who was telling us that only 1 in 4 people understand what this big, beautiful bill is. And I was shocked to hear that because we're talking about it all the time, but it's only 1 in 4. So friends, if you're listening, talk about the implications of this bill, whether it's the gutting health care, gutting SNAP, maybe it's raising the deficit. Maybe, I mean, Ron Johnson has a point there. The deficit will increase because of these giant tax cuts that we are giving to large, huge corporations. So we've got to have conversations about what is in this bill and how it will impact not only us personally, but our communities as a whole.
Well, you know, you mentioned Ron Johnson, and I just have to throw this in there. Yeah, Ron's a whole out on the budget bill until he gets something that he wants, and then he will capitulate. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but that's what he did last time.
Yeah.
He was all against the budget bill until he got his pass-through approved for his big, big donors, because that's what he lives for, is taking care of those folks, not the rest of us so much.
No.
But yeah, I firmly expect Rojo to completely capitulate once he gets something that he wants.
Yeah. Cassandra on the live stream says 45 minutes can make the difference between permanent heart or brain damage. This will, capital W-I-L-L, put additional stress on the healthcare system as well.
Oh, we know. Outcome studies have shown us that people who live further away from hospitals have worse outcomes. There's more death. There's more morbidity. People who don't die but suffer long-term permanent damage, they have to live with that. Then they need even more health care.
Yep.
So let's just make sure people can get health care that they need. Please.
Well, and we keep talking about Wisconsin is failing to attract new young families and losing population. We are not gaining population like some of the other states. I'm 65 years old. When I look to where I'm going to live, I want a hospital nearby.
Yeah.
I am not going to move to somewhere. And I love northern Wisconsin, but I'm not going to move to somewhere in northern Wisconsin where my only hospital is an hour and a half away. Mm-hmm. That seems like a bad idea.
Yeah.
And you're going to need more appointments, too. Don't forget that. It's not just that one sentinel thing, but it's all the touches with the healthcare system.
Yep, absolutely. We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Kristen Lierley. On the other side, stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. May 12th, the U.S. Department of Justice reportedly requested all the state of Colorado's records relating to the 2024 federal election and the preservation of records related to the 2020 election. The request may relate to President Trump's effort to free a convicted Colorado election official. The records request is massive. In November 2024, there were 4.65 million registered Colorado voters, 3.3 million of whom cast ballots in the presidential election. Then, consider the records from every electronic ballot tabulator, voter registration and verification documents for each voter, and more. Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold told NPR, "What they're going to do with all this data, I don't know, but I'm sure they'll use it to push their ridiculous disinformation and lies to the American public," she said. There is speculation that it may be related to convicted Mesa County elections official Tina Peters, sentenced to 9 years for giving voting machine access to conspiracy theorists tied to MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell. The week before the Colorado records request, DOJ was directed by President Trump to, quote, take all necessary action to help secure the release of Peters. To date, Colorado has reportedly provided two copies of its master voter list to DOJ and its 2024 voter history file. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our friend and colleague and host of the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, Saturdays and Sundays here on Civic Media. Dr. Kristen Lierley is here. Right before we went to the break, Dr. Lierley, we were talking about the budget bill now getting hammered out in the Senate and what this would mean for hospitals, especially in rural parts of the country and in rural parts of Wisconsin. And essentially, more hospitals will close.
They will. Hey, I don't know if people really realize what happens when people don't have health care. We heard George W. Bush say during his term that everybody can have access to health care. They just go to the emergency department, right? Right, he said this. So that is true. When you show up at the emergency department, we are obligated to give you care. That is the human thing to do, and it is the right thing to do. But if you can't afford it, guess who eats that care? The hospital eats all of those expenses. Whether you are somebody who's been living in this country your entire life, an undocumented immigrant, somebody who is a naturalized citizen, it doesn't matter. Nothing about that matters. All that matters is you cost that hospital money and you can't afford to pay for it. So guess who pays for it? The hospital. And they write it off and it becomes all of our problems.
Right.
We end up paying for
it. We pay for it
eventually.
Yes.
So the fewer people who have insurance, which includes Medicaid, the more we actually end up paying on the backside. And as it continues to draw, as fewer people are insured in rural areas, there's more of an impact on those rural hospitals. They have more expenses. They have fewer resources. They are more likely to close. That's why we're seeing hospital associations now stepping up and saying, this isn't going to work for us. We need help. We need help.
855-752-4842 if you would like to join us. Cassandra from New London is on the line. Good morning, Cassandra. What did you want to say about this?
Good morning. You know, it's interesting you guys were talking about, like, drawing young people in and, like that we're losing that population with Wisconsin. And it was funny. I had an experience, this was a few months ago, of course, on Facebook. And there was actually somebody from the Waupaca County Republican Party that made a comment that said basically, like, get out of here with your progressive views, take them to Madison. And it's like, so you're telling people who are more progressive, which tends to be younger people, to leave your county.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. Especially like Waupaca County and like the city of Waupaca has the foundry, and they're having a tough enough time getting people to work there. And they're actually bringing in, I believe, a lot of their immigrant workforce is Venezuelan, which all of those visas just got canceled.
Yeah.
They're losing all of those employees. And then I think it's hilarious that Mr. Tony Weed is introducing some of this legislation to help rural hospitals when he's supporting this big, beautiful bill, specifically calling out the loss of the birthing center at the Waupaca.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
You're right. Waupaca just lost their birthing center. So that's another strike against young people wanting to live in that community. And then the bill that she referenced is a bill that it's a great bill, actually, that would make sure that hospitals that don't have birthing centers, more than half of all rural hospitals do not provide obstetrical care. More than half of all rural hospitals in this country do not provide obstetrical care. So that bill would make sure that the people who work in those hospitals have the things that they need to take care of people who just show up on their doorstep. Because if you are in labor, or if you're having a pregnancy-related problem and you show up at a hospital that does not provide obstetrical care, you need somebody who can help you, even though there's nobody in the hospital right now who can. So it actually is a good bill, but it doesn't even begin to solve the problem. And he is making the problem overall worse by supporting this big, beautiful bill.
Well, and again, I go back to this whole mantra from the right. We love babies. We want more babies. Why aren't women having more babies? What's wrong with you women? No. That's not the problem. The problem is we have no birthing centers at half of our hospitals. That seems to be a problem.
That's a huge part of the problem. There are a lot of reasons why people are choosing not to have babies. And we do need more babies. We need more younger people. Economically, we've got this teetering population of people who are aging, and we do not have the young people to support them. So that is a legitimate issue. But forcing people to have babies or coercing them or giving them $5,000 or a medal, that's not the answer. Building a society that supports families and supports women and cherishes children, that is one piece of the puzzle.
That might actually help. Check out Dr. Kristen Lierley, the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show, Saturdays and Sundays across the network. Thank you so much, my friend. We'll have you back on real soon.
Thanks, friends. I love hanging out with you.
Love having you here. News is coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Be your son.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Breaking news from the Supreme Court. It's just begun releasing what we're expecting to be a flurry of opinions on cases heard this term. We've just learned, by a 6-3 decision, justices have upheld Tennessee's ban on gender-affirming care for transgender minors. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
We know that in this case, the issue was whether or not Tennessee's law, which bars certain gender-affirming medical treatment for minors, violates the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. And the court concluded that it did not.
As for the broader impact,
this will allow other states to pass similar laws that restrict minors from obtaining gender-affirming care.
26 states already have laws like Tennessee's on the books. In another vote, the Supreme Court's cleared the way to restart plans to temporarily store nuclear waste at sites in rural Texas and New Mexico. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.